Welcome to The Sovereign CEO, a podcast where we explore what it really means to become powerful beyond measure. Expect to hear incredible stories about possibility, creativity, business, self-mastery, and of course, the Great Awakening. I'm here to be your hype girl, to give you strategic tools that help you win, and to shed a light on things that you really need to know. Let's work on mastering your mindset and mastering your mission so you can build an empire, live a purpose-driven life, and create more freedom within it, no matter what the world around you is doing. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Sovereign CEO. Today I'm going to be interviewing Drea Humphrey from Rebel News. She's based in British Columbia and reports on Western Canada for Rebel News. Her reporting is definitely not afraid to challenge wokeness, political correctness, and she definitely doesn't shy away from the tough questions that mainstream media tends to avoid. She's also a mother and one of the speakers at the Reclaiming Canada conference this June in Victoria, BC. I've been watching her for a while on Rebel News, so I was thrilled to have this opportunity to get to sit down with her to hear a little bit about her story, how she got started with Rebel News. We talk about media, about helping our children become more discerning with the things that they take in. It's a really interesting story. I think you guys are going to like it. Before we get into this week's episode, I have to pay the bills. This episode is brought to you by the Sovereign CEO Academy. This is my online school and mentorship container for awake and freedom-minded businesses who are wanting to grow their business and brand online. I coach in there every single week. I drop in fresh educational content. The community in there is next level. We have monthly guest experts in all things self and business mastery. We also have a really fun call once a month where I help you create all the content that you need for your marketing for the entire month in one go. So if you're looking for support, branding, selling, content creation, all of the things, you got to get your buns in here. I'm also supported by The Wellness Company. The Wellness Company unequivocally stands up for medical freedom. I still take spike support. I take a few different supplements, and it's amazing to watch what they're doing here in Canada and the USA. They're really here to transform healthcare. They're definitely not just a supplement company. So very, very proud to be working with the great team there. And last but not least, you guys have probably heard me talk about gold and silver a lot. With inflation, with government overreach and overspending, we have to be smarter with what we do with our money. Is smarter a word? Is that the wrong thing to say there? You guys know what I'm talking about. It's time to protect your money. So I like to focus on creating additional streams of revenue. That's great. But if we're not also protecting our money and learning new ways to interact with it outside of the traditional banking system, you know, we're in trouble in 2024. So check out the link in my bio to find out my favorite system for protecting, growing, and investing my hard-earned cash. All right, everybody, let's get into the show. I'd love for you to meet Drea Humphrey. All right, everyone, welcome to the Sovereign CEO podcast. I have with me today Drea Humphrey. Drea, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Carla, and hi to everybody else.
So you are a Western reporter for Rebel News. You are a mother. You're a freedom activist. What else can I kind of add to your repertoire, your bio for people that don't know you?
Funny, I've never been called a freedom activist before, but I guess I am in some ways. It seems like nowadays just speaking the truth makes you a freedom activist, so I'll take it. Yes, I'm definitely a mother. I'm a wife, Rebel News reporter. My background prior to being a Rebel News reporter was in healthcare. I was a medical professional in a couple of different capacities. And yeah, now I'm just more boots on the ground, getting out there, and our commitment to the public is telling the other side of the story.
Much needed. in 2024 and beyond. Did you ever think that you would be in this position? Did you ever think you'd go from healthcare to reporting?
No, like so many people, I was talking to someone and they said, I categorize everything from pre-2020 to post-2020. And that's definitely what happened in my life. I was, living my pre-2020 life. And then as a mental health care professional, I saw that the lockdowns were just impacting the field that I was in so much. And that was actually my primary concern. I suppose that's what got me into the activism, was speaking out about what could and what we later saw did happen to those in particular who were recovering addicts. So the addicts that I had worked with, or people who are trying to stay clean, they need those support systems. They need the positive people and connections that they have made in their life. And they also need their jobs. So my concerns that got me to my first protest in spring 2020 was that those individuals, if you use the example, let's say, of a single man who's been clean a few years, maybe he lives in assisted living and he's got a job. Well, now he's being told he can't see his child once a week because that's not in his bubble, and he can't work. Even though he's healthy, he can't work. But here's $2,000 from CERB, and stay home in your loneliness. So what's happening? They're going to shoot up that 2,000, or they're going to drink it away, and they're going to lose everything that they worked hard for. So that was the first thing that got me to my boots on the ground, at a report that was in Surrey, BC, just like 20 people. And I was wearing a mask outside. It's so funny. And I think I had made my first protest sign, which said, flatten the curve and not our rights. And I really wanted to speak to that issue. And I didn't say where I worked or what company I worked for or anything like that. And I was cautioned very sternly. I don't even know how my work found out that I had attended that protest, but I was told, don't do that again. And if you do, you could lose your contract. And that was when I was faced with the decision that many of us faced in 2020 or thereafter of, do I keep my mouth shut? Or do I go with my conscience and keep talking? And so I chose the latter, and later on, Rebel News found me quite quickly after that, speaking what I felt was important truths that need to be heard, not just on that issue, but also on Black Lives Matter. I was speaking against the grain at that time about that as well. So along comes censorship and everything like that, and also along came Rebel News.
What has that experience been like working for Rebel News?
It's, I call it a calling, actually. I've told my story before in depth on more of the details, and I had a slideshow on sort of the timestamps of how everything happened between when I got cautioned to between Ezra Levant being my first Twitter message. I had signed up on Twitter because I was being censored so much on Facebook, and the first message after I felt led and called to actually apply at Rebel News with no journalism experience, I might add. So that would be quite the resume. He reached out to me. It was my first message. I thought perhaps it was a fake message. And I got my teen daughter over. I'm like, look at it. She's like, no, mom, it's a blue check. It's legit. And so it kind of felt like it was definitely meant to be. I was like, I guess I'm a Rebel News reporter, and it's been like that ever since. It's not easy, absolutely, by any means. Sometimes people say, oh my goodness, when they meet me, they say, you're so brave. And I'm like, I still don't feel brave because I'm scared all the time in my reports. But I guess it's just a matter of pushing through anyways, and never losing sight on the reason why you're doing things. And I truly believe that the state of Canada would be so much worse without Rebel News. So it's an honor to work for them and with them.
Is it because too, I feel like people have their opinions, they can have their ideologies, and I don't like to say sides, but just to make this easier to describe situations, I feel like a lot of the things that you're talking about and I'm talking about, they're just so rooted in truth and reality that makes Me a little braver. Do you find the same? It's not like this is an opinion that I have. Like we have two eyes and two ears, and we can see what's playing out in real time.
Well, yeah, I mean, the answer to your question is definitely yes. I think common sense also plays into that too, where it's kind of like, but I forget who said it. Somebody said, common sense isn't so common. And I think that's what we're facing. So while it's absolutely true, what you're saying is that we are emboldened by the truth to be able to speak the truth. The reality is that that's not enough for many. So the truth is that there's something different about you. There's something different about me. There's most likely something different about everybody who's listening or watching this interview that makes them stand in truth when it is not popular to do so. And I have yet to figure out what the answer behind what that is.
Do you think it's possible to build bridges between the left and the right in Canada, the way that the media is? I mean, we are seeing that less and less people are watching mainstream media. They are losing their power. A lot of integrity too. I've been on Twitter and watching even the things that the Liberal Party has been posting lately. And they sound like the National Enquirer right now. They sound like 14-year-old girls. Like they're not even trying to be professional at this point. But I think we have a real problem here in Canada with people not being able to speak to one another at all. I see this on Twitter, especially. What do you think is the solution for creating situations where people from the left and the right can actually engage in meaningful conversation with the media the way it is?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, we saw during lockdowns just how effective it is to segregate people in order to turn them against each other. And that was very effective when we weren't allowed to be with each other. But now we are allowed to be with each other. And so it's important to put aside the I told you so's or, oh, you're wearing like a mask, what an idiot. We've got to really check ourselves, I think, and come to people in a spirit of wanting to hear them and understanding that, in particular over the last 4 years, we've gone, all of us, through some form of trauma, and everybody in some way has been affected by that. So, as cliche as it sounds, I think coming to it from an approach of love, that goes a long way. I'm also faced with this challenge all the time in my reports, especially, if, for example, in a setting if I'm covering a protest and there's counter protesters. Of course, I'm always going to go over and try to get their side of the story. Something I love about Rebel News is every journalist is different. They all have their own personalities. And I feel like my personality is the type to kind of just come at them face to face and really just want to talk to them and have a conversation. And every once in a while, there will be someone on the other side that will engage in an actual discussion. And whenever that happens, there's always a lot more in common. You can always find some common ground. And I think those are the magical nuggets we should all be looking for, whether it's in the grocery store or not, or at work. Like in the grocery store, instead of judging the person wearing a mask, you can actually just have a conversation with them and say, "Hey, can I ask you why you're still wearing a mask?" And maybe that question is going to make them think twice about it. Like, why am I still wearing a mask? Or maybe they're like, "You know what? I have like a really ill grandparent at home, and I'm just really scared about that." And then that, you're coming at them from a place of love and you're more understanding.
That's what I like to assume too when I see people in masks. Either they're sick or I think they're really scared.
Scared,
That's
yeah.
really sad that we did that to people.
And when we come with that approach, it's healthier for us. And I like, I believe people can see and receive that, and you can plant seeds. Seeds go a long way in the long run. And maybe the next time you see them, you never know, they might take it off and go like, yeah, I think it's time. I was thinking about it anyway. So.
How are you treated by legacy media? If you are out there reporting on the ground and legacy media is there as well, do they notice you? Do they talk to you? What happens there?
I like that question. So I feel like my emails and messages to me as a journalist are like some sort of barometer for what's happening in Canada. And it's funny because if you went back to when I started in 2020, there would be obviously this clear divide of journalists when we would cover the same thing, in particular freedom protests, right? So you would have the legacy media off to the side again in their masks, terrified. And then we would be right in there, actually talking to the people instead of just following the one person who looks kind of weird or has a strange sign, right? And so we would always make a point. At the time, my camera person was Matt Brevner, and we would always make a point to talk to the legacy media, introduce ourselves, and they were always so standoffish. They didn't want to shake our hands because we were like anti-vaxxer reporters. So it's like you'd put up your hand and they would decline sometimes or reluctantly shake. I don't think they shook their own hands at that time. And so there was a lot of that type of thing. And then I would say in maybe 2022, things would change if you would run into those same reporters because you see the same reporters covering the same stories in your area, obviously, right? And there would be a little bit more of an open dialogue with a couple of them. I'm not going to name any of them, obviously, but some started to get annoyed with Trudeau, and that, of course, opened some dialogue there. And then now, flash forward to 2024, the end of 2023, I actually have some legacy media journals who slip me stories, and they don't say anything. They'll just like drop something, like they don't say hi, they don't say bye, they just like put something in my Twitter inbox or whatever inbox they reach me on because they know that they can't cover that topic. But I can and I will. So I love that, and I always make sure to cover those stories, of course, so that we do get the other side of the story out. So I think there's a major shift there, both in how we're perceived by other journalists, and of course, not all of them though.
That's incredible. That gives me a lot of hope that there
Yeah.
are people on the inside secretly dismantling some of the things. Okay. Okay.
I think they're tired of it too. I mean, imagine how frustrating it would be. I don't think that most of the journalists are these like evil people who want to push the globalist agenda. I think they got into the field because they were interested in journalism. And so I can't imagine how frustrating it would be to be told you can't do a story that you know is important, that you know that the public wants to hear, and often that you know is some level, some form of injustice. And we saw that with all of the vaccine injuries that got ignored, 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 and now the legacy media puts the odd one out. But imagine being shut down on those types of stories. That would be really difficult.
I imagine it's similar to my father. My father worked for government. He worked for Manitoba Healthcare. You can imagine we were not on the same page on things during this whole thing. And he's retired now, but he spent so long way up high in Manitoba Healthcare. And things have changed. Just like we talked about before the podcast started, like the Liberal Party themselves have changed. The news media has changed. And I think the problem is there's a lot of people that have been in there for decades and they just have so many memories of it being another way. And they're not quite catching on that everything is shifting. And that might be a really big problem. Well, of course, you can trust the media. You've always been able to trust the media. Why wouldn't you be able to now?
And you're right, that must overlay into the field of medicine. I'm connected to the field of medicine, and it's the same thing. You trust these institutions to behave in a certain way, and we haven't put the institutions in check. So in the medical field, there's a lot of really well-educated people who trust, that journal, that medicine journal that they read all the time. They don't understand that scientists and research is being censored and shunned, and no one's getting money if they're talking about something that shouldn't be talked about or they want to look into it. So, yeah, I could totally see that, how those two fields connect.
So these censorship bills, how has that impacted Rebel News? I hope that most Canadians by now have a VPN so we can continue to watch Rebel News. What's happening in the back end there?
Well, we've been very clear on our belief that we're one of the primary targets with a lot of these things. There are millions of people who come to Rebel News for their news, predominantly Canadians. We've had to sue the Prime Minister, not once, but I believe three times, two times winning. I'm not sure what's happening with the third case. And that's just to simply ask the Prime Minister questions that the people deserve answers to. There is no shame when it comes to the current government in even going against that ruling and saying, no, when it comes to election time, you guys are not welcome, even if you have to fight your way through courts to get there. So we're not naive when it comes to these censorship bills to understand that we would be targeted with that. And with that comes great concern, just like it always is in any country when news is controlled or censored and things like that. So we have different calls of actions. We have, if you go to stopthecensorship.com. We have petitions there, and that's also where we put all of those reports that sort of tie into any kind of online censorship. But the beautiful thing that I've been able to see in Rebel News is the people. The people have saved Rebel News many times before, and it's quite shocking. I always once every 6 months, I'm like, I really think we need a reality show because if people could see like how stressful it is when these sort of fights we have to take and the discussions that happen before, but ultimately it always comes down to the people just supporting us and getting us through. So yes, make sure you have our email, or you've given us your email, I should say. That's the most powerful thing you can do, I think, in case these bills go any further. The other thing I want to add, which is interesting and kind of ties into your last question about the whole like legacy media versus independent media, is how Facebook responded, of course, to one of those bills or one of those legislations. And as we all know, it's to block the news as a whole off of Canada, or sorry, Canadian news off of their platform. And what's interesting about that is we were already so censored anyways. So, we're used to kind of surviving outside of big tech. And again, that comes down to the people who not only watch us, subscribe, and support us by donations, but also share important stories with other people.
It almost gives me hope sometimes, with the amount of censorship, and as horrific as it is, the businesses continue to grow, the content continues to be shared. People will actively go, fine, we'll go to your website and we'll go see the news if that's what we have to do. That gives me actually a lot of hope.
And people's skin gets a little thicker each hurdle thrown at them. I mean, censorship was huge for me in speaking out, being told by my work, as I mentioned, but then also when I'm like, no, I am going to still speak out. Then being censored, like that was so new to me. I never mentioned this, but I had a craft channel where I did hundreds of videos. So I was used to putting out content. So being censored was so weird. And it just makes certain people just like want to get the message out even more, right?
What do you think the future is of legacy media? Do you think they will realize that they are losing Canadians' faith and turn things around? Do you think they'll double down on the behaviors that they're doing right now, and all of a sudden we're watching North Korea-style news at home?
I think there's a little bit of survival of the fittest there. So you will see some doubling down. We already see some doubling down, but you also see some fading away. And we've seen the odd person sort of break away from legacy media and actually share their story. I anticipate there will be more of that. But of course, you're going to have some people holding on for dear life. And there are people who are still going to want that narrative, still believe it, still want it there. So there's a little bit of an echo chamber, I think, right now. I always have to remind myself, not everybody's on Twitter. Not everybody's in Twitter land. So even on our side, and I hate saying the sides, we have our own echo chamber where sometimes we think everybody knows what we know. And it's like, no, they don't know anything about what we know. And then that happens there too. So, I mean, it's so normal. For certain people to go and be attracted to that media. The question is, if it got to the point where legacy media had to be never rely on the government, what would they do to change then? Would they represent the people, which is what they're supposed to? And I think that would be a great win for everyone.
How do you stay emotionally regulated? How do you stay neutral as a journalist, especially in places like Twitter or when you're boots on the ground reporting and you're encountering really nasty people? Is it your nature? Are you able to just like let things bounce off your back naturally, or is it something that you really have to work at?
Well, my husband would say hard no on that, but I don't let things go easy with him, but no. I don't think it's necessarily my nature to let things go. One answer to your question is my faith is a big part of it. So I try my best to live in a way that that Christ lived and how he would probably address some of these people, which again is coming from a place of love, but it's certainly not always easy to do that. The other thing is probably my mental health training. I've been in a lot of situations where if things escalate, I could be harmed, people could be harmed, the client could harm themselves. And so I do have training in de-escalating situations and approaching people from different ways and kind of knowing when to be firm and when to be soft. And so these are kind of learned things that I've carried over into my journalism. And unfortunately, and I'm not trying to be dismissive of this in any way, but a lot of times the people who are angry at me, I think they have mental health issues. I can see it, I feel it. It's very natural to situations I've been in before. And so I think when they're in my face like that, I just kind of respond in a way that I would. I cared for people with mental illness in my own home 24/7. So there isn't a lot you can throw at me that's going to be too shocking, even though I'm small and might look like you could intimidate me easily. It's not going to be that easy.
Now, what I find so interesting about that is you might think those different career paths that you've taken are totally different things. And it's very interesting how God can lay out our purpose like this, because
Amen.
you already knew how to make videos and content. That was one segment of your life. And then the mental health training that, like, you're pulling in all of these things that you already did into the career that you have now.
You're very quick, Carla. That's exactly. I'm like, okay, that's why you had me do this. That's why you had me do that. And it doesn't even stop there. It goes beyond Rebel too with some of the training I've had in mental health where I'm like, oh, okay, that was for that too. So absolutely. I totally see it that way too.
So you're going to be speaking at the Reclaiming Canada conference. What made you want to get involved, and what will you be speaking about?
Well, there's two things that wanted me or made me agree to speak. One is I've covered it 2 years in a row. I spoke at it last year, and that was because I saw that it is an organized movement, which isn't easy to do in grassroots. It's actually very difficult to do. So I do like the way that it's put together, and I saw a lot of people go away with a takeaway, and that takeaway is a positive one, where they feel like they can be more of a positive impact on Canada. So that's something I'm attracted to and I would love to be a part of. So I'm happy to accept to speak about it. The second thing, it's really in the name, Reclaiming Canada. Canadians were known as being nice. I have my own theories about whether that was actually ever true, but we have this nice, but we certainly were known as being free, a free place to live. And that's something that's very important to me. I'm sure, Carla, you know people and people watching or listening, I'm sure they all know great Canadians who have either left the country, planning to leave the country, dreaming, fantasizing about leaving the country. And I'd be lying if it hadn't crossed my mind. But the reality is, if Canada falls and completely becomes a place that's undemocratic or unfree, then those other places that people are fleeing to, I mean, it's easy for that type of takeover to happen if it hasn't already. So I think there's a lot of reason to reclaim Canada, to realign Canada and get it back on track. So that's why I agreed. What was your second question?
What was my second question?
Yeah, I know you had two, but that's why I'm looking forward to being a part of the conference for sure.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in person. Who are you looking forward to listening to at the conference?
Oh, interesting. Well, it's a great lineup. I've actually never met Dr. McCullough. Like my coworkers have some of them, and so I'm actually really looking forward to finally meeting him. Most people know him if they were paying attention to the other side of the story during COVID. And guilty pleasure, this is probably not the answer you or anyone is expecting. I'm excited to meet Drew Pinsky because I watched so much Teen Moms. And I'm so ashamed to say that's the most reason I want to meet him. And I know he's doing great work now, but I'm really excited about that. And it's funny, my family member, who I can't always have these honest, open discussions and on anything related to politics, I showed him. I'm like, look who I'm gonna be speaking with. And he was like, oh, I'm so excited. So maybe he'll watch more of the conference too. You never know.
I love that. And I love that the Americans are coming to help protect Canada too. Yes, please get the cavalry.
We need all the help we can get when it comes to reclaiming the country. It's like when Tucker Carlson came here. That was great. That just shook us up a little bit.
Coming to save Canada. One more question for you. You're a mother and a reporter. What kind of conversations are you having with your kids about being discerning around media?
So my kids have quite a big gap. I have one that is 11 years older than the other. And so I homeschool one and the other is graduated. And so the conversations are quite different. The older one, it's how I would talk to my friend about everything. You know, she gets the full deal. As a homeschool parent, it's amazing. Like, I don't know who my child's gonna be because my one of the subjects I teach is critical thinking to my son. And I don't think you get taught that in school. And I can see he's really latching on to that. And so I think that I take that approach in everything, like in science, everything that he learns, I challenge him to understand why that's the truth. Is it the truth? Why do you believe that? So that he can be really grounded in who he is, who he becomes, and know why, so that whatever is coming at him, from any angle, he's strong enough to come at it and really know who he is. My daughter is a great, she grew up to be great. I don't know if we dodged a lot of the bullets growing up just because of the age she's at, but there were still some areas where, because she was in the public school system, I didn't even think to have the discussion with her. Like, I remember, I don't know if anybody remembers this, but I think it was a couple of years ago, there were signs on bus stops in Vancouver that said, the best thing you can do for your child is not have another child. And it was a black baby they showed on there, of course. And so it's this depopulation poster in Vancouver bus shelters. And my colleague Sheila Gunn-Reid did some digging, and it was actually paid for from some organization in the States. And they're paying for it out here. And so when I brought that up to my teen at the time, her response was, well, that's true. That is the best thing for the environment. And I went, what? Like, how did this belief, you know, like they got to my kid. And so I think the best thing that I'm seeing in contrast is be involved. That's what I love about homeschool. It's not easy. We do it at night because of what I do for a living and sometimes on the weekend. But any way you can't, if you can't homeschool, you have to be involved because they're coming at these kids, the next generations, from all angles. And I do a lot of reports about how they're coming for the kids. I'm very passionate about it. And that's probably something I'll be speaking about maybe at the conference. We'll see.
I can't wait. Drea, thank you so much for your time today. Where can people find you?
You know, I'm most active on Twitter. X. If that's, I don't have much time for social media, but I do end up on there often, a little bit every day. So it's just my name, Drea Humphrey, on X on Twitter. That's the best way to find me. And of course, Rebel News.
Amazing. Thank you so much, and looking forward to seeing you this June in person.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
Everybody, that's it. That's all. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Love what the folks at Rebel News are doing. I have a VPN so I can continue to watch Rebel News on my social media devices in Canada. It's crazy that we have to get a VPN in order to do that. Very 1984 around here. If you can, though, support Rebel News. I have donated to them several times. You can find them at rebelnews.com. We definitely want to support independent media whenever and however we can, whether that is through sharing of their materials or donating. It's important that we get the other side, that we continue to hear the information that we need to know. And very much looking forward to meeting Drea in person at the Reclaiming Canada Conference this June. Again, if you'd like to join us in person, this is going to be not just one of those conferences where you listen to some inspirational stories. This is a solutions conference. This is a movement. This is all about taking back democracy. You can get your tickets at weunify.ca, or if you're not able to join us live but you want to help out, go to the website as well, send us an email, and see how you can get involved. Thanks for listening, as always, my friends. Thank you for sharing the podcast, for subscribing, for sending us messages. All of that stuff helps us a lot. It's just me behind the scenes here running this whole thing. So your support means a lot through the even just sharing, just sharing these episodes to your stories or sharing them with your friends and family. I really greatly appreciate it. If you like what we do here, please consider hitting the subscribe button. And I will be back here soon with another great episode for you.